Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to the latest podcast presented by the Arizona Committee of the Marine Corps Scholarship Foundation. We call our series Honoring Service and Embracing the Future, the Marine Corps Scholarship Foundation Arizona, A Decade of Dedication. I'm your host and moderator, Mike Phillips. And before introducing our guest today, I'd like to thank Karen Nowicki and our team once again at Phoenix Business Radio X for hosting our podcast. We appreciate the opportunity to share great stories about veterans, the Marine Corps, and the Marine Corps Scholarship Foundation. On the topic of thanks, we're also excited to announce today our first sponsors for this podcast. Thank you, Robert Gutierrez, president of Bravada Yachts, and Jesse Keenan, owner of Semberfi Heating and Cooling. Both Robert and Jesse are Marine vets, and we appreciate their help in making future podcasts possible. Now on to today's discussion. We have a unique program today centered around a band of authentic Arizona heroes. The 19 hotshot firefighters who perished in 2013 fighting the Yarnell Hill Fire shared a special bond. Three of their members were part of another brotherhood. Jesse Steed, Travis Turbyfill, and William Warnicki were all U.S. Marine veterans. The Marine Corps Scholarship Foundation seeks to honor those men and has launched a campaign to establish three honorary scholarships in their name. Joining us today to talk about the Hotshots and the Tribute Center established in their honor are Marty Reed and Dennis Buchel. Marty and Dennis are both board members of the Granite Mountain Interagency Hotshot Crew Learning and Tribute Center based in Prescott. They are appearing with us today from Prescott via Zoom. Welcome, Marty.
Hi, thank you for having me. We're so happy to share our story about the center and the Hotshots.
That's terrific. I can't wait to get into it. And thank you, Dennis. Thank you for coming on too.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting us and look forward to our discussion.
Outstanding. Well, let's talk a little bit about how you guys got to be on the board. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Marty, and how you got involved in the center.
Sure. I have been in Prescott, Arizona for about 23 years. My father was raised here and I have family roots here in Prescott. And I'm an educator. I've been a K-12 educator for over 20 years. So, of course, when the tragedy happened at Yarnell Hill, it affected the community. Prescott's a small community. We were all devastated. And many of those hotshots, many of the men were local boys. They went through our schools. And although I never taught any of them, I taught some of their friends. So, and I taught former hotshots. And so, you know, it really struck a chord with me. And when this opportunity came to be on the board as an educator representative, I jumped at it and have been involved ever since.
A very personal connection with the Hotshots. And I know Prescott is a small community and a lot of those relationships existed. I noticed Victoria Bellissimo's come in. She is one of our co-hosts for the program. And she's also the chairperson for the Arizona chapter of the Marine Corps Scholarship Foundation. Good afternoon, Victoria. You need to turn off your mute.
Good afternoon, Mike.
I got it. All right. Welcome. We were just making introductions, and with us today is Marty Reed and Dennis Buchel, and they're both with the Hotshot Center up in Prescott. Marty was just talking about her background, and we're going to hand it over to Dennis now. Dennis, same question to you. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you got involved in the center.
Well, I'm retired. Spent over 30 years in the fire service. After moving Prescott, I worked with Prescott Fire for a few years and was just kind of connected with the department with the work I did during that time. And after hearing the loss, got involved with supporting the department and doing various things to just kind of help out during that time, and have been involved with taking care of all the memorial items ever since. And again, with the interest in getting these items displayed for the public. I got involved with the board, and we've just kind of been moving forward since that point in time.
It's a remarkable center. It is very emotional to go through the memorial and to learn the stories of those firefighters. Tell us, for those that are tuning in and aren't familiar with the history of the Prescott Hotshots, Marty, tell us a little bit about who they were, what their mission was, and why they were unique in a lot of ways to Prescott.
It kind of started back in the late 90s and early 2000s when we had some city fire folks that decided we really should look at maybe a risk analysis of Prescott and what our fire risk is with that urban wildland interface. You know, Prescott is surrounded by forest. From that risk analysis and some of that work, it was realized, you know, we need to do some work. And so interestingly enough, our Granite Mountain Hotshots kind of started first as a fuels mitigation team. So the city put together a group that was doing fuels mitigation in the area, cleaning out dead brush, dead trees. At that time, we had that bark beetle infestation that was affecting our ponderosa pines. And so really, it was the goal of some of these leaders in the fire department to create one of the best defensible spaces and really make Prescott kind of a model in how to manage that interface between the cities and the forest, essentially. And from there, the mission just kind of grew. And it was in 2007 that, or 2008, I think, that they became a certified interagency hotshot crew. And a hotshot crew is the most experienced crew that can go out. They can go out unsupported. You can send a hotshot crew into a forest fire, and they're so experienced and knowledgeable and trained that they can get in there right away and fight those fires. And it was the uniqueness, really, and I'll let Dennis chime in because there's probably more to the story that I'm leaving out. But I know that the uniqueness was that was the first hotshot crew that was hosted by a municipality. I think they're typically U.S. Forest Service hotshot crews. But this was a part of the Prescott Fire Department, the city fire department. And I believe at the time that was the first and only one. And so that was in 2008 that they became a certified hotshot crew up until the tragedy in 2013 when it was pretty much, you know, I think the city decided not to put another crew together. Dennis, I don't know if there's anything I missed there that maybe we should share.
That seems to cover everything pretty well. One of the key points that you did make is that they were unique in that they were the first municipality hotshot crew. And again, the Prescott Fire Department did set a lot of standards that are being introduced and used today that didn't exist before. So they were aggressive in creating some new standards.
Wow, that's interesting. And I know that during their tenure, they saved a lot of landmarks up there. They were very effective. And that, I'm sure, solidified those bonds with the community even further. You know, it's kind of Marty, you said earlier, a lot of those young men who were from the area, they protected the community. And Dennis, talk a little bit about that bond. You were a firefighter. What's that bond feel like? You're out there every day really kind of helping other people, and it's got to be very rewarding.
It is. These are guys, whether it be a structural component or the wildland, they're working together, you know, days, weeks on end together. And they develop quite a closeness and camaraderie with one another. You know, when it's time to work, they work hard and they're washing out for one another. And then when it's time to relax, they do that together. So it's not just work, but even on their off time, they spend time together. So there's quite a bit of interaction that way as a crew, and the bond that they have, and they're always there for each other, you know, in the good times and not so good times. So yeah, that's just something that develops, and it's just part of the whole firefighting industry.
Dennis, I have heard, and maybe you have more information about this, but there's also a Prescott Hotshot crew, which is with the U.S. Forest Service up here. And there was some, you know, kind of friendly rivalry between, you know, the Granite Mountain Hotshot, the city crew, and the Forest Service crew. And there was some back and forth, you know, one might go to one crew and the other. And even within those two crews, you really see a bond. You know, when we're at the center, we'll have firefighters come in who knew them, or they're on the Prescott Hotshot crew. And it's just a close, you know, if you saw the movie, they call it a brotherhood, and maybe that's a little gender biased, because we do have female hotshots too. But I think even with the women on the crew, it's that kind of tight brotherhood, you know, where you're, like Dennis said, you're working day in and day out and sleeping together and eating together and not showering for weeks, and you just kind of bond. And it's even with the other hotshot crews, you know, when there's a big fire, many crews will go out and work on that fire. So you'll see, they'll see a crew that they've worked with before, and you know, you get that joking and ribbing and, you know, goofing around and playing tricks on each other. So it's a neat, I see it with the visitors that come to the center and share their stories.
I bet. And speaking of those bonds and serving together, three of the crew members were veterans. They were all Marines, and the Marine Corps Scholarship Foundation has launched an effort to establish scholarships in their honor. And Victoria, for those might be tuning into this podcast for the first time, can you tell us a little bit about the Marine Corps Scholarship Foundation and how these scholarships came about?
Absolutely. So we are the oldest and single need-based scholarship for military service children in the country. Next year, we'll be celebrating our 60th year of the Marine Corps Scholarship Foundation. Arizona has had a presence for specific gala and get-togethers. Well, it was the 10-year, and then there's COVID. And so anyway, we're still going to be celebrating our 10-year, even though I think it's moving into like our 12th year next year, but we're calling it the 10-year celebration. And basically our committee, our Scarlet and Gold Committee, raises awareness for the Marine Corps Scholarship Foundation here in Arizona, but we are a scholarship foundation headed in Virginia. So we provide scholarships to children of Marines, Navy corpsmen, clergy, all over the world. So wherever those children are, as long as they can provide the information that their parents served in those categories, they carry a 2.0 grade point average, and there's a financial requirement, they will receive a scholarship to attend college, university, or trade school. Kind of our background is, you know, from the front lines of freedom to units right here in Arizona, Marines make legendary sacrifices. And we know these three Marines made the ultimate sacrifice in 2013 that day, along with their other brothers on that terrible day. My husband is from Prescott. He grew up there. At the time, we still had his family home. We were there that summer. It was solemn. It was unifying in the community we saw. We provided as much support as we could, but we were there right then, that entire summer with that community, in mourning our firefighters. So we have a tie to Prescott in our family. My husband went to Lincoln Elementary, Prescott High. He's very proud. And so Yavapai County, he also went to Yavapai County. Yavapai Community College. And he was a Marine recruiter up there. So when he got back, he chose that as his active duty post. So We're very tied up to the community up there, and also the Marine community, but also all veterans and all service people and frontline workers for sure. Military, police, fire. We are trying to support as many of the families as possible. But Marine Corps Scholarship Foundation. This is a project that Mike and I put together, mostly Mike, after him being up there, to provide scholarships to three students, preference to anybody coming out of Yavapai County in their application, one for each of the Marines who served. And our goal is to raise $5,000 per scholarship that we will then have them be awarded in the fall school year under their application. And again, preference to students, children of Marines who are in Yavapai County or from Yavapai County. So when they fill out their application, that's the preference, is to be able to support the community up there. And we're very proud of this scholarship opportunity. We want to basically continue awareness of what happened, who these Granite Mountain hotshots were, who their families are, and just not forget their ultimate sacrifice. And so we are honoring them by honoring these children and trying to get them educated and assist. And these can be just in the Yavapai County. We really, really hope we get some applicants. We do very well all over the state, and we do well up in Yavapai County as well. But that's our little special scholarship for this year. Three of them, three scholarships.
That's wonderful. I know that our students will really appreciate that, and be sure to send that information to me. I'm happy to get it out to the high schools in the area. And that's amazing. Really, a $5,000 scholarship is very generous.
Yeah. So there'll be three of them. If Mike and I are on a mission to get them funded. So it'll be a total of, if we can get everything funded, $15,000. So three $5,000 scholarships go a long way for students going to school and assisting in their educational journey. And we'd like to keep it up. So if we do well, we'll try to continue funding year after year.
Great.
Yep, absolutely. You know, we want to honor that legacy and keep the memory, the deeds and accomplishments alive for that crew. Speaking of that, that's what your center is all about. And Marty, I'll ask you to just give us a quick overview of what is the center, what's your mission, and tell us a little bit about where you're at and how people can contact you, maybe jump on the website.
Sure. So our center is located at the Prescott Gateway Mall. The city negotiated a wonderful lease for us there at the mall. The mall has some space, and so we have a beautiful center with exhibits. And the mission is similar to what the scholarship mission is, and that is to remember and honor these men who sacrificed their lives to save, the community of Yarnell. And so we kind of have a threefold mission. One is obviously to honor the guys. We never want to forget. We have information about each crew member. So that's a big part of our center. Another part is we, as Dennis mentioned before, we have all of the items and memorabilia pieces that were left around the fence of Station 7. So when Station 7, after the tragedy, people just began placing items around the fence. And as you can imagine, many times there would be 19 of those items. So you might have 19 shovels or 19 flags. And before we knew it, the entire fence surrounding the station was covered with beautiful mementos and flowers and notes and teddy bears and toys. And people who knew the guys brought really personal items for their friend who had died in the tragedy. And so we have all of those items. Dennis was part of collecting and organizing all of those items. And so we display some of them. Right now, our display is called The Shirts Off Their Backs. Many hundreds of shirts over, I don't know, maybe I think the last I heard it was like 1,100 shirts were left around the fence. A lot of firefighter shirts, fire department shirts. So when you come into our center, the entire back wall is covered with shirts, and we have them organized, and we have pictures of the fence before we took it down. And so someone can come in and see their San Bernardino t-shirt and say, oh, you know, my brother put that up. And then we can find the picture of it on the fence where it was placed, you know, that summer. So we have all the fence items. We would love to display more of them. And then lastly, the last part of our mission is really to teach about wildland firefighting, wildland fire prevention. You know, we partner a lot with Smokey Bear because, you know, only you can prevent forest fires. And so we have fire prevention information, but also we want to teach about how to be a wildland firefighter, because that was, if you know, that was quite a journey that our city went through to have this hotshot crew and the hard work they put in to become, you know, a certified crew. So that's kind of our mission and lots to look at. It's some people, you know, get pretty emotional when they get in there, but there's stuff you can look at, you know, to take a break if you're feeling a little too emotional.
Thank you, Marty. And Dennis, you mentioned earlier that you were part of that group that collected the items and started the process of displaying them, preserving them. Can you talk a little bit about that personal experience? What was that like? And what sticks out in the center? What sticks out significantly for you?
It's probably a number of things. I went over to help assist the department and in the process thousands of items were coming into the city, most of which, as Marty mentioned, were put around the fence. I got drawn into it. My support had a different vision at the moment of supporting the department, but part of that support ended up being working on collecting these items that were being left. And then as time went on, the preservation of those items. And there was another group of ladies that organized that. And I just ended up being part of that group. And that was all collected. And then it was the process of trying to preserve the items and cataloging everything. So that was a whole new venture for me to learn. I'm a hands-on, get out and do different things. And that was something totally different. With all the items that were collected and watching over it for a number of years until the center was created, I think just putting everything together and had some assistance, our curator at the time, definitely gave us some direction on how to display items. And it was just hard to understand the magnitude of everything we had until we started trying to do something with it. And it was like, gosh, we haven't even scratched the surface. And we've got this whole area at the mall full of stuff. And there's just more stuff than we have room to display. And with that, we have this, it's set up in such a way that one side is a tribute to the 19, the crew, and we're trying to develop more educational information, and that'll be on the other side. The kiosks that are set up and that are a tribute to each individual, the theme on those kiosks are similar to that of the station. There was a chain link fence all the way around, and everything that's being displayed is though they were at the station looking at the fence and seeing all the items that were hung on the fence, which is the backdrop behind all this information. So we have that for all 19. There's some history of what the crew did over the years once they were created and all the way up until 2013. And we have some other areas. There was the movie that came out. We have kind of a, can you detail the difference between the real hotshot shirt and the movie shirt, things of that nature. But trying to stimulate people of all ages to stop, read the information, and really learn, one, about the crew and the fire prevention aspect and the urban interface problems that everybody faces where communities are moving into that wildland area and what that means. So, yeah, there's quite a variation, and we're always trying to evolve into what else can we come up with to enhance that, and how do we want to present that?
Now, Dennis, I heard a rumor that you put the first item on the fence.
Just a rumor.
Is it a rumor, or did you?
Yeah, I did. I don't really. Yeah. When I got there, somebody had left some flowers, but I was actually the first one to actually hang something on the fence.
And so I think, you know, that's what happens. You started it. We got thousands of items. And so then you had to accession and catalog and take care of all those items. Really, you started it.
You know, I think back of it because there was a news station there. And I think back of what I told the reporter when she was asking me a couple questions. I made a comment about you haven't seen anything yet, but I didn't know how I was going to get pulled into that too.
What was the item, Dennis, if you don't mind sharing it?
That was a flag. Yeah, United States flag.
You know, you're going through those, the personal tributes and the personal plaques and information about the individuals. When you go through the ones with Jesse Steed, Travis Turbeville, and William Wernicke, the Marine Corps jumps out there. I mean, that was a big piece of their lives. And I've been told that there was an additional bond between those three guys because of that Marine Corps service. Do you have any stories you can share about that or any connections with the Marine Corps that have gone on since the memorial was established?
For myself, I can't really give any real personal, other than I've worked with other Marines over the years in the fire service, and you have your regular bond as a crew, but there is a distinct bond with fellow Marines, and I've seen that. I've never been a part of that, but I've seen it, and so I can understand that, and it doesn't surprise me that they have that additional bond just because of their service as a Marine.
And, you know, these were young men, and each of them served three or four years in the Marine Corps. And although that maybe doesn't sound like that much, when you think about the fact that they were 25, Billy was 25 and Jesse was 36. So it still was a good chunk of their adult life that they were a Marine. The personal connection I have is with Travis Turbeville. I have the pleasure of working with his mother. And so we talk often about Travis. She says, you know, he was such a great kid and a great father. If you've seen the movie, there's a part in there where he's painting his little daughter's, I think, toenails. And his mom, Colleen, says that's true. He really did do that. And he loved those little girls and his wife. And, you know, Colleen and I cry probably once a month when we start to talk about Travis. And he was just such a friendly, easygoing guy. He was a local boy. He was raised in Prescott and went to the local schools here. So, I think about Travis a lot. He joined the Hot Shots in 2011. Of course, the Yarnell Hill fire started in 2013. Jesse was the captain of the crew, and he joined in 2009, which was shortly after they became a crew in 2008. And the captain is like the second in charge under the superintendent. All the stories I hear about Jesse are that he was kind of a jokester, and he was funny, and he liked to make the crew laugh and kind of play tricks. And he also was married and had two daughters. He grew up kind of in the Quad City area. He was born in Cottonwood and kind of moved around, so he was pretty well known. And then Billy came from Hemet, California, which is kind of a rural community, or it was back then. He was married and his wife was pregnant at the time of the tragedy. But what I hear about him is that he was easygoing and, you know, high integrity, really proud of the Marines. And yeah, you know, we just hear great stories about all the guys. And, you know, it's hard. It's hard sometimes when you think about how young they were and how much they had left in their life, but how much we appreciate what they did for us. I mean, they really sacrificed for us.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. It really brings those men to life. And it's important. This is what the scholarship effort's about and what your center is all about, is keeping those memories alive and the sacrifice alive. I have people understand the level of that. And Victoria, can you tell us a little bit about, if somebody wants to donate to the scholarship, contribute to the scholarship, how they go about doing that?
Sure. On the website, which is mcsf.org, they can go into that. And then basically we have a separate page set up. I'm going to see if I can bring mine up for the donations for the Hotshots scholarship that we set up. And they just have to identify that's what it's for. There's we have a couple of different donation areas, but that is, you can't miss it. I mean, it definitely, it talks about our scholarship and these separate Hotshot scholarships. So on the website, which is MCSF, so Marine Corps Scholarship Foundation.org, we'll be able to get in there under Arizona.
And Victoria, I want to tell you that when I told Travis's mom, Colleen, that I was going to be on the show and I told her about the scholarship, she just wanted to thank you. And she's very appreciative that you're honoring her son.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. We've been working with Chief Light of the Prescott Fire Department and getting approval, making sure that we are bringing respect to the families and honor, and make sure that everyone was in approval, so that way we did not disrespect or just basically bring it back without them knowing. So we asked for permission from all of the three families, and he did receive permission from them. So please give her a big hug from us and lots of love, because we are a very warm community. I'm the wife of a Marine. It's a bond through all of our families, all of our children, our friendships, our parents. We're all kind of bonded together. And again, like I said, my husband, that's his community. That's where he grew up. So we just, you know, we just love it up there. And what a great place to raise your children or just be a part of. It's a wonderful, warm community. And one of my favorite places to go. We just came up and did, we walked in the Veterans Day Parade for Marine Corps Scholarship, but starting to bring awareness of who we are and how we can help up there and how we can help the children, you know, which is our future, you know, educating our children and whatnot. So yes, please give her a big hug and tell her all warm wishes for her, and her loss is great and forever. But we are going to honor her son.
I sure will. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And we're hopefully going to have a dinner in about a year. It's been postponed a few times, but we'd love to have a representative of the center with us at the dinner. And we will, if it's appropriate, reach out to the families and invite them also. And I'm very confident that a year from now that we will have those three scholarships established, and we'll be ready to move onward and upward from there. Marty and Dennis, talk to us a little bit about the plans for the center. Do you have any pending projects or any other outreach planned?
Sure, I'll start. We also are fundraising and doing our best to raise funds for the center. We're a all-volunteer nonprofit 501c3. The biggest plan that we have is we want to get a bigger, you know, Dennis kind of alluded to this. We need a bigger facility, an independent space to really do a good job displaying all those items that were on the fence, as well as the educational portion of our center. We really want to expand that educational piece. The Wildland Fire Academy is up here in Prescott every spring, and we're closely tied with them as well. And we would love to create educational classrooms and spaces and, videos and have speakers. We would love to have speakers in. So our grand plan is really an amazing, big, beautiful space here in downtown Prescott. No problem. You can get land and buildings anywhere around here, right?
Well, they're not still using that courthouse up there, are they?
The courthouse, yeah, it is still an active courthouse. We looked at the old federal courthouse, which is now the post office. Dennis, did you go on that walkthrough when we looked through that building? It was beautiful.
I did.
I'm just kidding about that courthouse, but downtown Prescott would be an ideal location, I would think, for the center. That would be awesome.
Everybody involved really wants to keep it downtown, where a lot of the other activities are. It's just something that we know it's going to be a challenge, and it's going to take some time, but we do have that goal and desire to have something that we can create that's really nice, present it well. And we have quite a broad base of different talents and backgrounds on the board. And, in a couple of years, that's going to change a little bit because we're going to term out based on our bylaws. But that being said, we're always looking for volunteers and kind of feelers for board members as we continue. But we're always looking for that talent too, to be creative and help us, because we want to present everything the best we possibly can and as accurate as we can, and really make a broad and good presentation for the public. And this is, again, not just our wishes, but it also, I think, my personal feeling too is it's part of who the guys were. They serve the community. Even on their time off, they were doing community work that nobody really knows.
Unfortunately, we've lost the signal. I don't know what's going on, maybe a sunspot or something. We really appreciate your time today and the stories that you shared with us. Definitely, to our audience, if you're in Prescott, please make a trip to the mall, visit the center. It's a very emotional and educational experience, one that you're going to remember for a long time. And you guys, we just look forward to working with you in the future, and we'll keep you up to date on what's going on with the scholarships, and we'll talk again down the road. Thank you very much.